that are involved with Children's Church, you may be released now, free to go. Those with Children's Church. As we prepare for revival next week, the Lord changed my sermon in midweek. He has a right to do that at any time. Just thinking about how it is that we can prepare, what it is that we can do, how we can prepare our hearts. And so many times in the Scriptures, it'll relate, it'll refer to many metaphors and similes about the Christian life and compare it to certain things. And one of my favorites, the figure of a race. Paul uses this figure in several of his books, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, and one of the reasons why I myself believe that Paul is the writer of Hebrews, although theologians have argued about that for years, here's the deal. God wrote the book of Hebrews. We don't know what instrument that he used, but I love Paul uses the figure of race. Think about in Corinth, they had this many in games. They saw many races. It was only second to the Olympian Games, and so in that culture, it was a big part of that culture. And so I want us to think about that as we go. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll stand to our feet, and then we'll continue on. Hebrews chapter 2, let's reference the reading of God's Word, chapter 2, 1 through 12. Let's stand to our feet and reference the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, what did I say? Hebrews chapter 12, look, thank you. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Look, I didn't even know I'd said it. Got to watch out. Keep me accountable. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, I pray let your word go forth. May you touch us. May you find us right where we need to be as we prepare for revival next Sunday. May your word go forth. Hide me behind the cross for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Yes, regardless of who the gospel writer was, the Holy Spirit used them. And I want us to think about these first couple verses of chapter 12. And just for the record, I relate to racing. Sandy and I, believe it or not, in our younger age. Look, if you'll see on the screen, there's Sandy finishing up. We raced competitively a little bit. But we know what it is. I know what it is. I learned many life lessons. Look at there. Have you ever run 26.2 miles? Neither have I. That was a 5K race. But we understand about running and racing, and I know some of you guys enjoyed it. And so it's very easy to relate life lessons to running, and I know that the writer of Hebrews was doing that too. And I want us to think about our race, running the race of life, and some principles that we can draw from these two verses this morning. I want us to think about first the past examples. Look at verse 1a, and it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about we all are creatures of motivation, okay? We all need a reason for doing the things, and we need encouragement along the way, okay? And he's really talking about back to chapter 11. And the heroes of the faith, the chapter of faith that comes before. And he's referenced the great people, the Hebrews, written to the Hebrews, of course. And so he's writing to Israel, those Hebrews that are saved and unsaved. And he's trying to show them how the Old Testament and New Testament coincide. And so he's writing and he's using these people of the past. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about David. He's talking about all these different ones, Gideon, Rahab. And all these Hebrews would know these great stories. They would know the stories of their past. And so he's referencing back to these examples of them. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, these people that have come before us, These people that have run their race already, and he's pointing back past examples, and he's wanting them to think back. I want you to stop for just a minute this morning. A lot of heritage right here in this church. South Fork Baptist Church has a lot of heritage, a lot of great people that have sat in these and in the old building. They sit in these pews with you. They've sat before you. They've run the race. Think about great names. Barry, I was thinking about you, and you, most of the time you'll testify about at homecoming about, name a name, Barry, one of the deacons in the past. Name some. Right. Edgar Seats. Name somebody. Coy Norris. Charlie Risk. Glenn Howe. Vern Green. Listen, think about those names. Risk, Howe, Green, Trivett. I thought about Miss Mary Trivett that had sit here, and Norris, and Murdoch. Think of pastors. Murdoch, Bird, Minton, McCoy, that have preached here in the pulpit, in these places. They've come before us. They've run their race before us. These are names that if you listen closely, you can hear the hammers ringing out that built this sanctuary, that we could come and that we could worship, that have laid the groundwork for us, that we could be here today, that we could worship God and worship Christ. How dare us never to forget the past examples that God's given us. I want to ask you something. How would those people do revival next week? How would they look and approach revival? Would it just be in a mediocre, mundane way that we usually do here? Just kind of take it as it comes. It's just something that we do. We've always done it. Is that the way that we should lead their example? Or should we search our hearts and see what it is that God would have in store for us? Just realize that we live in a nation, we live in a church, we live as individuals that desperately need revival. Desperately need that in our hearts to search out these things. We are to run the race with faith. You know why? They hand that baton. A lot of those names, look, they're gone, hadn't they? They went on. They handed us the baton. And look at the kids that we have in this place. Yeah, everybody under 30, stand to your feet right now. Everybody under 30, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Kids, that's you too. Stand to your feet. Listen. Stand to your feet. Look around. Look around. Y'all can sit down. Think about this. Listen. That here we are, we're running our race, and one day we'll hand the baton off to these. How are we going to hand it off? How did they hand it off to us? They left us a legacy. They left us an example. They didn't have to be begged to come to church. They didn't have all this busyness ahead of us. We have so many things. I know life's busy. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want revival, you're going to have to pay the price for revival. And you're going to have to put your busy schedule behind. And you're going to have to say, Lord, I need to meet with you. Why? Is there not a cause? Is there not a group that we're going to have to hand off that we need to leave an example where they could say one day, like these names, they did it. And, so, and their names are still ringing out. Why? Because they made a difference. They made a difference. Past examples. Listen, was their race an easy race? Hebrews chapter 11, what needed, listen to what it says, Hebrews 11, 37 through 38. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves and of the earth. I want you to look, think about the Colosseum. The great Christians that gave their life because they believed in Christ, that were willing to be eaten for entertainment, and were because they would not forsake the name of Christ. I just wonder how many of you would show up next Sunday if you knew that was what was waiting on you. How many? Gosh, it's something for us to think about, listen. We don't know what it is to sacrifice in today's world, in America, where we live, and the price that was paid. But I want to tell you, there's Christians that are being martyred right now. Think about ISIS being killed for the name of Christ right now. We don't even think about it many times. We gasp, but we don't think about our brothers and sisters in Christ. In that video, they just cut their head off right there in the surf. It's awful to see. That's the world that you live in. That's the world you say we need the revival, but that's the world that you won't get off your blessed assurance and do anything for about it. Just to be honest with you. We want revival, but we're not willing to pay the price for revival. Why? Because we're too busy. We got too much going on. This is one of the quotes of Lena Ravenhill, if you saw me post on my Facebook. The only reason we don't have revival is because we are not willing to live without it. We're willing to live just mediocre. We was talking about in Sunday school, the great people that we see in the Bible. We think it, and we put them up on a pedestal. Listen, the reason why, that's just nominal Christian living. You know why they're up on a pedestal? Because we've settled for so much less. Let's just be honest. God called us to be here and live on that plane with Him. To be set aside. The reason why we're not making a difference in our country is we settle for not having revival in our hearts. Why? We're not willing to pay the price for revival. Let's just be honest this morning. We're not willing to pay the price. It doesn't cost us anything. The race wasn't an easy one. Hebrews chapter 11. But they ran it in faith. It's time for us to run. It's time for us to make a difference. Why? Because you're going to be handing off the baton before you know it, the way the time is going. The examples of chapter 11, Moses, Abraham, all those great guys, they didn't have the light that you have today. Listen, they didn't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them. It came upon them. You have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you. You have everything that you need to overcome the tempter and all these things. We have everything that we need to shine that light forth in a dark world that He's called us to be the salt and the light of. We have that dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit. We have these great examples to look back on and think about. And yet, we're surrounded, it says, by so cloud of a great cloud of witnesses. It doesn't mean, and I've heard preachers say this, that they're standing up there in the galleries of heaven cheering us on. Listen, if you can see from heaven down here on this hell on earth, how could it ever be heaven? Okay? We got to put that out. It's not that we're to be trying to please them. We're to try to be pleasing our Lord. It's not that they're looking down on us, but we're to look at them and the example that they've set for us. We're to be looking and allowing that to encourage us to run the race well. Not just give. I get so tired of the mundane, just giving the leftovers, going through the motions in whatever we do, because it's easy. We've done it that way. We get so used to doing it that way. We just go through the motions, but yet we expect God to pour out His Spirit on us. God's waiting on people just to waken up in this country, in the church houses. I'm going to tell you, that's coming if we don't. You don't think it is? It is coming. That's coming because He'll get our attention one way or the other. We're supposed to be looking at Him. The same God that was with them is with us. He's not weakened by the sin in the world. We can run as well as they did, okay? That's our past examples. But listen, there's a present reality too. Look at verses 1b. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance a race that's set before us." And so, they're not only past examples, but there's present realities in our life. What does it say? Lay aside every weight. It's talking about, listen, one of the greatest problems that you have as a runner is weight. If you want to run well, if you want to compete, you got to keep your weight down. You got to watch what you're eating. You got to watch your carbs intake. All these things, you got to keep your weight down. That's why they dress so scantily, too. It's not like they're trying to show you something. It's the lighter that they can get by with, the faster they can run. It's weight. It's the weight of life. And He said, let us lay aside. That word weight, it actually is onkos. And it means bulk or mass or of something. It's a bulk or mass of something that's attached. And it's not necessarily a bad thing in itself. Often it's something that's perfectly innocent and harmless, but it weighs us down and diverts our attention. It saps our energy and dampens our enthusiasm for the things of God. What is it that you're dragging along with you? What is that weight that weighs us down that keeps God from working in our life? And if all of us would be honest, we'd say, yes, I want God to work, but what is it that's weighing us to keep God from working? It's not necessarily a bad thing. He's talking about weight, but it's encumbering us from running well the race that He set before us. It's keeping us weighted down. The writer probably, when he's addressing the Hebrews, had the idea of Judaistic legalism. They were all about legalism in mind. And they were hanging on to the old ways, the old religious ways. That same idea, they didn't want to let go. Why? Because we've always done it this way. So we don't want to let go because it's easy. We don't have to prepare. We don't have to practice. Why? Because we've always just done it that way. Let's just go through the motions of serving the Lord. These are weights that easily beset us, and he's talking about to take this and lay these things aside. So there's some things, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to lay aside, maybe some good things. We have to answer those questions before the Lord, laying it aside. We have that revival meeting, and we've been talking about for months, it's coming up. Have you been praying? I don't just say, well, I pray for a revival. Lord, we're praying for revival. I'm talking about praying. What is it, God, in my life? What do I need to lay aside? What are the weights that are hampering me from encountering you, God? I need you so desperately as the deer panteth for the water. So my soul longeth after thee. Do we pray in that way? What have you got scheduled next week? Have you laid it aside? Oh, we can't do that. Listen, are you want revival or not? You want revival or not? We have to lay it aside. Not only, you know, our problem is we're fat. Oh! I'm not just talking to you ladies, I'm talking to men too, okay? I won't get in trouble. We're fat. What are you talking about? We're just overweight with the things of the world. Let's just be honest. We're just overweight with the things that just weigh us down so easily. We get our mind and our focus off of everything else and put it on these things of the world. We're just fat with the blessings of God. And he said, hey, we got to lay this aside. We got to get this weight off of us. We're overweight with what? With hobbies, with careers, with all these things that we put on us, work, even ministry. We're just overweight. We just get so encumbered that we miss out on that relationship with God. He's wanting desperately to pour out on His people. I'm so sick of the laziness in my own life. I don't know about you. I'm so sick of the laziness in my own life and in our churches. How we just go through the rote routine and the same old thing. We expect different results. That's called insanity. I want revival to come and fall upon this place, upon my own life, upon this group of believers. I want us to get so on fire with the Lord that, listen, that we don't have to make a program to go out and visit people. Why? Because you're out and the Spirit of God's in you and you see your neighborhoods, your neighbors, as people that you can reach for Christ. We program everything out and make it just go through the motions. Cookie cutter Christianity. Marching to the same beat. And ain't no wonder that we're losing our young people. And we're willing to do that because we're not willing to change. Because of our apathy. Because it's easy. We just like to ride it out. Not only are we fat, but look what it says in the sin which so easily ensnares us. This is even a more significant thing that will hinder you from your race, and that's sin. Obviously, all sin hinders the Christian living, but it seems to be a reference here to a definite article, because in the Greek it's a definite article, and it's particularly pointing to one sin, and it's the sin of unbelief, doubting God. You say, well, I don't doubt God. We live like it all the time, okay? We live like we doubt that we don't believe. We say we believe, but yet when hardships come, anxieties come, rough times come, we handle it like the world does. Exactly the same. We're just worried to death, biting our fingernails. Oh, we can't believe that. We serve a God that's able to do anything. Anything. Get you through any situation. Don't know what you're facing right now, but I know that God does, and He can take you through it. It doesn't matter. He says that this sin, this doubting and faith, actually doubting and faith contradict each other, do they not? And yet we say we believe, but how much do we live it? How much do we really live it? It trips us up. See, if you're not careful, you can be running, and you can even, I'm going to tell you, here's what you can do. You can let your mind go. You can be thinking about something, and you're not even thinking about running, and next thing you know, you trip over your own feet. Okay? If you're not careful, if you don't stay laser-focused on the things that you're doing, especially in competition, if you don't have the race laid out in your mind, listen, before you ever start, in my mind, I've already run through it. I've already know. And you know where I know where the hard part is? Because I'd run them before. Was at the start. Man, you'd get up there and you'd be all pumped up. They'd be giving you bananas and everybody's around there. And you start off, and when that gun fires, you go off. And if you're not careful, you've learned, you've trained at your own pace, and there'll be somebody, and you're trying to keep up with the front of the pack, is what you're doing. And you're not running your race. Yeah, and the cheering's going, oh, man, and you're just all pumped up. And guess what? The middle of the race is coming. That place where there's not any cheering. That place where you've already took off and you're running. And what you've done, if you've run too fast, before you know it, it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm winded. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And then your mind starts playing games. You start doubting. It's the middle of that race. It's that place in life that we get used to, that we just run. And here's what you do. You save your best for that middle section, because you can win and lose it in that section right there. Because you start out too fast, you get on too fire for the Lord, and then you fall back and you just go through the routine and the road, and you're just going through the motions. You're not running your race. But let me tell you something. When you round that curve and you can see that finish line, you know what you start hearing? The crowd's cheering. Woo! Let me tell you what you do. It's all of a sudden, it's like you get another burst of energy, and you finish well. We don't get, oh, well, the young people, they've done it. Now it's time for them to do it. I've done my part. Show me that scripture and verse. It's in our late time. It's at that finish line that we should be running our best race. That we should be example to those that are coming behind us. It's running the race well. It's finishing well. Because not only are they past examples and present realities, but there's a future focus. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In running, where you look and how you focus is most extreme. I have seen races lost by neck and neck coming down to the finish line, and the guy looked back to see where his competition was, and the competition go by him. Because why? Because he didn't keep his eye on the finish line. And because he looked back, it took his pace off and he lost the race. I saw that happen. Valdez, North Carolina. Never forgot it. Guy stepped right in front of him and across the finish line. He looked back, see where he was, stepped right across the finish line in front of him. Your focus is what's so important. And what is it that we're focusing on? What is it that we're looking at? Listen, we're not looking at each other, because if we get worried about that, yes, we're to draw strength from one another, but if we look at each other, then we'll only run to please each other. And we'll be worried about what everybody thinks. And we won't run the race to please God, and it'll be all about, and if we're not careful, it'll be all about us. That's what seems to be the problem nowadays. Not so much of what everybody thinks, but our own, not so much selfish or egotistical, but it's all about us. And so we're just taking care of our race, our fare, and no more. And we don't think about, listen, pleasing God and running the race for Him and representing Him every step. And so our focus, we are to be laser focused, not preoccupied with ourselves or preoccupied with what other people are thinking, but preoccupied with what I'm doing to please my Lord and Savior. What you focus on in the race of life is looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the supreme example of our faith. It says He is the author. What does that mean? He wrote the book. Okay? He wrote the book, and not only that, but He laid out the course. He's the originator of it all, and He's the finisher. What does it mean? The perfecter of our faith. He is the one who carries it through to completion. Where did His race take Him? What does it say? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame. His race that He ran took Him to the cross. Why? For you and for me. He came to this earth and ran His race 33 years and they crucified him on a cross so that you could have life and you could run your race well. That's what it took him. And yet, you know what? He took it gladly, did he not? We should forever rivet our eyes on him for as long as we live. It is good to glance at examples, to look at people that have come, but we should fix our eyes on Christ and please him. The future focus is the finish line. He said, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the ancient Greece games, a pedestal stood at the end. And the Stephanos, the victor's crown, sat upon that throne. And whoever won that got up on that pedestal and received that crown. He said, Christ received that crown for you. He ran the race. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, the place of power. And he ever makes intercession for you and me. He's there for us this morning. He's there for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, listen, he laid his life down on Calvary. He ran his race so that you could know him, that you could run your race well. You have no excuse. You have no excuse not to run your race. Why? You have everything you need through him. If you don't have him, you'll never make it. Try as you might. Sit down. Our finish line is heaven. Some of you are at that place where you're around in the corner. And you can hear the crowds cheering. You can keep your focus. Heaven looks a little more clearer now. Why? Because the things of the world's getting less and less. You're getting older. You know, you're headed that way. Whether the Lord tarries or he comes back to bring us home, the finish line awaits. Run well. Finish well. Some of us were right in the middle of that race. If we're not careful, kind of just get used to jogging, not running well, just going through the motions. Not running to the best of our ability. Not running to win for Jesus' sake. Sit down. No one runs without the expectation of reward. Listen, there's a reward coming. Heaven awaits for those that endures. One day as we step before the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, all your career, all the things, all the hobbies that we enjoy, all those things will mean nothing as we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master of the universe. The only thing that's going to matter is how did you run your race for him? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Can you hear him saying that? Here's a quote. Listen, are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? That's a good question. Are the things that you're living for right now worth Christ dying for? Are they? Something for you to answer, because listen, if it's not, then you need to start living for the things that was worth him coming to this earth, and that was for you. Shed his life on an old rugged cross. For you. And for me. Looking towards the end, the finish line is to be with him one of these days. Jesus won the victor's crown. That we could run the race and cross the finish line. Our heavenly award, reward awaits those who run faithfully. Listen. He won. He ran the race for us. He went ahead of us so that we could run well. That he received the Stephanos, the victor's crown, for the race that he won. That we could be victorious in him. That we could run well. Paul focused on the finish line in 2 Timothy 4:8. Listen to what he says. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on me on that day. And not only me, but listen, but all who have loved his appearing. Have you prepared for revival? Go make excuse. Same old, same old. So important. Got so much you can do. You don't take out the time. Everybody wants revival. Nobody wants to pay the price that it takes for revival. Nobody wants to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Run your race well. Quit jogging. Start running. A lot of us are just satisfied to sit on the sidelines and watch other people run. Kids, bring kids to church and stay at home. What kind of race is that you're going to hand that baton off? No excuse to stay at home, just to stay at home. So busy. But we want revival. We just don't want to pay the price for it. Let's do applications and we'll be done. How are you running your race? Listen, you don't need to be beat up today. All you have to do is say, you know what, God? It's a brand new day. I can run a little better. If I've not run the way that I should, then Lord, forgive me. Let me prepare for a revival next week. Let me be praying, Lord. Let me be searching my heart. Let me look at the things that are weighting me down or sin that's so easily besetting me. And let me put that aside, that I can run well. I can run this thing called life well. And then where's your focus? What are you focusing on? Is it all about you? It never fails. You can tell somebody pretty quickly it's all about them because they always come back, I, me. It's never about the whole. It's never about what the Lord wants to do. It's always I, me, or mine. What is your focus? What is it that God wants from you? Lastly, how have you prepared for revival next week? Have you truly? Is it just another thing like anything else? Just, well, let's pray for revival. How have you prepared for revival? Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play. Brittany, as she comes and sings, at the first verse, I'm going to ask you this. Listen, I want you to be honest. If you don't know Christ, come forward. I'd like to lead you and let you know. If you know that your race that you're running is not the one that Christ has set out for you, you know you're not running for Him, you come forward and we'll talk to you about the Lord. But listen, let me ask you this. How many people want revival? And I want you to raise your hand. I want you to answer that for the Lord. Lord, I need revival. How many people want to see revival fall in America and in South Fork? When she starts singing, you come forward and pray and ask God to bring revival into your heart. Bring revival into your church. Bring revival into your nation if you really want those things. What is it that you want and desire? It's time to do business with God, Brittany. Don't hesitate. People are coming. How about you? You want revival in your life? You want revival in your church? You want revival in your nation? What is it? What is it God's saying to you? Don't be disobedient. You got to sleep tonight. How about you? If there's somebody here that's lost, needs Christ. Great time, great day to get saved. I'm going to pray. If you didn't come forward and you need to talk to me, I'd love to talk to you about Christ. Whatever it is that the Lord's laid on your heart, I'm here for you. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this group here. You know their heart. You know the ones that are still in their pews. God, you know everything on our mind, our heart. Lord, we just desperately desire revival. God, search our hearts. Show us the things that so weighting us down that so easily besets us, Lord, and help us run well. God, let us prepare for revival next week, Lord. Let us purpose in our heart to pray and to seek you, and God, see what you do in our life. Bless each person here. God, let revival fall right here at South Fork Baptist Church. And Lord, I promise you we'll give you the glory. It's not about a preacher, a man, or a place. It's about a Savior. And And so we're asking that you be magnified through it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Hug somebody's neck on your way back. Till you see. Guys, don't forget about, we're going to end in prayer, and don't forget about your sign-up for Vacation Bible School. Also, our posters, don't forget to take your cards to give out for revival. I'm going to let me get back to the back, and I'll shake your hand.